2 Kings 12, verses 17 to 21, and 2 Chronicles 24, 23 to 27. The miserable, the wretched end of Joash. At long last, this man's reign comes to an end. And here in these two passages, we have the record of his wretched, miserable end. Now remember, we're in the days of the Old Covenant. Therefore, victory in war, defeat in war, these things carry huge overtones. We read here of Joash, Judah's terrible, dreadful defeat at the hands of Aram. And this is a mark of God's displeasure, a mark of the wrath of God against this man for the way he has shown ingratitude to Jehoiada, but worse, how he has brought down the temple and committed a great apostasy against the God of his fathers. Now, the defeat here is overwhelming. The Aramean army is smaller. The men of Aram have a poor army, a small army, and yet they are victorious over a much larger army. That's what we read here. Yeah. God, you see, we read in the 2 Chronicles 24 passage, if you look at verse 24, for example, it was God who delivered Judah into the hands of Aram. And it's because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers, judgment was executed on Joash. God was using Aram, Hazael, the king of Aram, to wreak this judgment upon Joash and upon Judah for their apostasy against the Lord. Joash had tried to buy off Aram by using the treasure from the temple and his own palace. He squandered everything, the treasures of God and his own wealth too, to try and stave off the wrath of God being brought upon him by his apostasy. Instead of returning to the Lord in repentance, instead of yielding to the prophets who had preached to him, instead of obeying what he had learned and been taught under Jehoiada, instead of going back to the Mosaic covenant and the law, to David, to Solomon, the temple, and all to do with that, and all to do with the work of God in Judah, as revealed in Scripture, he tried to buy off the enemies of God, his own enemies, with God's treasure and his own. But it's all in vain, and he is wounded severely, and he comes back to Jerusalem and his officials kill him. It's a retribution for his murder of Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. His officials, verse 25 of 2 Chronicles 24, his officials conspired against him for murdering Jehoiada, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and they killed him in his bed. So he died. Well, he died. And he was buried, yes, in the city of David, but not with the kings. He was not given the honor of being the kings. They were buried with the kings. We read in verse 27, the account of his sons, the many prophecies about him, and the record of the restoration of the temple of God are written in the annotations on the book of the kings. And Amaziah, his son, succeeded him as king. So the record was there, good and bad. The record, too, of the name of the leading man who conspired against him to kill him is listed in verse 26. Well, this wretched end. Well, we read that men die, and their works do follow them. The saints rest, and their labors follow them. But the ungodly, they come to their end, too, and their works, too, stand. And the end must come. I look at myself. I look at Josiah here, and I see his Joash here, and I see his dreadful end. And I think to myself, what will my end be? What will my end be? Joash died so wretchedly and miserably, an apostate, trying to buy off the enemies of God with the treasures of God, turning his back on the kindness, the mercy shown to him by Jehoshaphat and Jehoiada, and forgetting all that, his ingratitude. What works follow him? What will his end? What was his end? What will my end be? What will it be? What testimony will I leave? I'm now entering my last lap of life. What will that last lap be like? Will it be an utterly wretched, miserable, apostate lap? God, deliver me from it. Here's the warning. Joash had had such a good beginning, such a strong start and continuance. But look at the desperate end of his life. John Wesley said, our people die well. Our people die well. I want to live well. I want to die well. And by well, I mean to the glory of God, to the honor of his name. How do you feel, brother and sister? Any young people listening to me now? So live now that when you come to your dying day, and it will come, you may have no regrets. Let us live, brothers and sisters in Christ, so as to praise God in our generation, and our works do follow us. May they speak like Abel when we are dead. This man had forsaken God, and to forsake God comes with a dreadful price tag, a fearful price tag. I warn the churches, if they will listen to me, going away from God, going away from his word, comes at a price. There is a retribution for it. There is a reckoning day. We can't buy off the world. We can't go on listening to the world. We should listen to the word of God. You see, this man, he did not listen to the prophecies from God through his prophets. He forgot. He was ungrateful. He forsook the kindness of those who had helped him. How often in the New Covenant we're told to remember. How often we are told, I say this to remind you. Peter is very strong in it. I remind you. I say this now while I can, so that when I'm dead, you will have this in remembrance. And Christ himself instituted his supper. Do this in remembrance of me. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, may we not be ungrateful. May we not be forgetful. May we remember God's mercies. May we remember the kindness of others. And may we live throughout our life and right up to the end and through the end for the glory of God. Unbeliever, I challenge you to. It's not only saints who have to face ends. The end will come for you too. The reckoning day is coming. Be ready to meet God, I urge you. Christ and Christ alone is the only way of salvation. Trust him, I urge you. Well, these are solemn lessons. Joash had a miserable end, a wretched end. Oh, that I might live to the glory of God and die in praising his name. As Charles Wesley said, oh, that I might with my latest breath, my very last breath, cry, behold the Lamb. And not only with our lips, but with our lives, may we confess Christ right to the end, and then enter glory with well done, good and faithful servant. May it be so, for Christ's sake. Amen.